Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 39. We're getting close to the big 4-0. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined this week by Matt Desend.
Holly, I'm so happy and thankful to be here.
Well, thank you for, you're welcome? I don't know. Anyway, also, Bradley Cragen is with us again this week.
Hey, folks.
And we're grateful to you, Bradley, and we did miss you last week.
I know, there was a power outage. Perfect timing.
Ah, yeah, so that you could get out of doing the podcast for a week.
It was a good time. If anyone listening has not heard our last week's episode, we obviously got a really cool developer interview with the guys over at Starfall Studios to talk about their upcoming Nintendo Wii U eShop game called Sneaky Ninja. I highly recommend you all go and check that out, as you do with all the other episodes as well, because it was just a ton of fun. But we did very much miss Bradley. I think he would have had a fantastic time because they were all very funny people.
Yeah. I was actually thinking afterwards, like, dang, if Bradley were there, it would have been just that much funner because Bradley's kind of like the sense of humor on the podcast. So we really did miss you. Yep. All right. Today we're talking about recent swag, what we've been playing, and we will have a feature as well. This episode, though, is a very special one because it is the one before Thanksgiving, so we wanted to go all out and have a great feature for you guys ready to go. So today we're actually going, for our feature, going to talk about Nintendo developers, studios, what else? Business peeps, as I put on the notes. Just like individuals and also development studios. And one thing under each that we are specifically thankful for. So that should hopefully be a pretty fun time. But for now, let's talk about our recent swag. I am under the impression that Matt has none this week.
I sadly did not pick up any physical swag this week. I know I'm the whole reason why we started doing the recent swag segment. I was like, hey, we should totally talk about all these cool things that I get all the time. Well, as of recent, haven't really been picking much stuff up, so... But I'll change that. Next time I find even Barbie's Nintendo DS game, I'll possibly get it just so I can talk about it.
Well, the holidays are coming up. You know, everyone's kind of putting their resources toward gifts for other people, I imagine. So we can't blame you.
I feel like somebody's blaming me out there.
Me and Bradley aren't.
You didn't get any of the Animal Crossing Amiibers?
No, I'm not interested in that Vigia game, and I'm not interested in those not playing cards. I no interest in the Animal Crossing Amiibo stuff as of today, at least.
But they're adorbs.
Yeah, I just want Isabelle, but I don't want to buy the game.
Well, yeah, Isabelle is exclusive to the game, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the prob, because my daughter likes the Isabelle character from Animal Crossing, and I thought about getting her that Amiibo, but I feel like I would hurt myself if I got the game.
Yeah. You know what? Just get her Tom Nook.
Tom Nook instead.
Here, honey. Grow up and be angry, mean, and take everyone else's money.
Yes.
Well, Bradley Bradley has 2 weeks worth of recent swag that he hasn't talked about, and so hopefully that'll make up for...
Sounds like he's gotten some something.
Yeah, I got some something.
Okay. All right. List them off.
All right, so I wasn't here last week, but I got Xenoblade Chronicles X. All these are review copies, by the way.
Yeah. And so it hurts my heart. Because I want to play
actually,
it.
They actually didn't send it in the actual box. They just gave me a CD case for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know why they didn't give me the box. But I don't care. I got the game early, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But what else did I get? I got Mario Tennis, Ultra Smash, Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival with the two Amiibo inside of it and the three Amiibo cards inside of it.
Could you just send me Isabelle? Just Isabelle.
But she's so cute.
Fine.
Send me the Isabelle. What? No, no.
What about Digby? No one wants Digby?
That's
true. Oh, I wouldn't
mind
Digby.
Nobody
wouldn't
wants
say no
Digby.
To Digby.
And what was the last game? Oh, yeah. I got Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon.
That's a good haul.
Yeah.
And yes, they're all review copies, but
yes,
that's still awesome. Especially the Isabelle Amiibo. So, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Amazon was selling the Chibi-Robo Amiibo by itself for at least a little while. Did you guys know that?
I
did.
But was it the Amazon here in America, or was it was the Japanese edition of that Amiibo, though, I believe?
I don't
think English.
So. Yeah, I got an email from Amazon. They said, like, this is the availability period, and they also had a short availability period for other amiibo, and I actually took advantage of that and got Ganondorf. I haven't gotten it yet, so I'm not counting that for recent swag yet, but I ordered Ganondorf.
Sweet. Yeah, we knew the Chibi Robo was going to be getting a standalone shipment in North America. We just didn't know when, but then we figured out it was Amazon exclusive.
Of course, we probably understand why it got a standalone edition by itself as well. The game didn't sell very well, so they had a bunch of amiibo just sitting in their warehouse.
Probably. And people will pick up the amiibo. I mean, yeah. If you bundle a game with it, it does make it a little like, well, I'd like that amiibo. It's like me and Isabelle. I just want Isabelle. I don't want Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. Although, I haven't actually watched Bradley's review on that yet, so who knows?
On Amiibo Festival?
Good. Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's good.
I have not seen your review on that one either. I have seen a couple other ones because you had posted yesterday, didn't you? Our time, obviously, not the day that you're listening to this. Everything doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm interested in talking about that. So, Holly, do you have any recent swags we can get into the now playing?
Well, I'm pretty happy with my recent swag. I've got the Paper Mario fever. So I've got Paper Mario digitally on my Wii U, of course, which was an N64 game. Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, though, on GameCube, not that easy to get. I wanted it so bad, though. It's considered the best Paper Mario game by most people, and it's also considered one of the best RPGs, period, by a lot of people. So I was able to get a used copy of that. It's complete in box, though, with all the inserts and all, so I'm pretty pleased with it. The disc was a little scratched up, but it still works fine, so I'm not too displeased. Pretty good acquisition. So
how much did you get it for used?
$28.
That sounds like a really fair price, actually.
Yeah, I was impressed. I spent a couple days looking at the prices on eBay just so I could get a sense of, like, you know, what would be a good price to buy it for. And most of them were going for $35-$40 used, sometimes without even the case or anything. So.
You bringing up eBay just reminded me of something that I just bought.
All right.
So Nintendo started, like, selling stuff directly through eBay.
That's what I heard, actually.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
And they were selling some pretty cheap stuff. I got a whole Wii Fit U bundle with the balance board, the tracker, and the game just for
As in the pedometer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The little pedometer thingy. It was only $26.
From, like,
26
Nintendo's,
bucks?
Yeah, Nintendo's official selling
on eBay.
Account on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they're originally, like, $90 in the store.
Well, and the tracker by itself went for, like, 15, I'd imagine, by itself,
I think
if
it was
not 20.
It's 20. You can get it for, like, 10 on Amazon, though.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, still, sweet deal.
Yeah. I'd say so.
I would agree with that as well.
Because I don't have a balance board, and I don't know, that's, like, a price for a balance board just by itself. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It sounds like they're selling a lot of refurbished stuff then. Is that the case?
I don't know, but I know they have, like, 3DS XL bundles for, like, $130, which is still a good deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty awesome acquisition as well. But I think that pretty much covers everybody.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about what we've been playing, and we're going to start with Matt again.
All right, so I've been playing a couple things. First and foremost, I finally booted up... I did actually last week a little too. I just didn't mention it. I think, well, we didn't really talk about anything what we were playing, actually. But
right.
I did start playing Paper Mario, and I'm totally loving it. I don't know why it's taken me so long to play this game. I loved the one on the Wii. Super Paper Mario is a charming, fun, just an awesome game. And this one, definitely you can see the early parts of, like, the writing and just, like, the fun that it has. But I don't want to talk about that one, obviously, too much.
Save that for the end of the month.
The other game that I've been playing, because so the way I have my whole front room set up is through a projector for my Wii U, my PS4, and then a bunch of the other stuff that I've connected to it, and I have an HDMI switcher. Well, the HDMI switcher broke. So unless I want to basically tear apart where I have my projector at to kind of replace the HDMI wire into the, from the Wii U to the projector and have to, like, measure stuff. I don't want to do it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So to avoid doing that, I decided to use my GameCube because I haven't played the GameCube for quite a little while. And the game that I decided to boot up on the trusty old GameCube was Madden 2005.
Oh.
More football, because it's football season, so that's what I like to do.
Here's we a, don't here's play a no question foosball. For you.
It's pretty. What's
yeah,
the question?
Yeah, me and Bradley. Are there NFL, or are there Madden games that are considered better than others? I mean, I'm sure there are, but which ones are the best ones? And
to be
on
honest,
what systems? Or does it matter?
Okay, so I'm playing 2005. The one that I have on the Wii U is 2013. I can tell you that the differences between them are not huge. Even though I'm going from GameCube to Wii U, the difference is because the fundamentals of the game are so basic and bare bones that they just do small updates for every single game. Like, I would never recommend somebody who even loves Madden to buy every single game every single year. I would say wait for every other or every third game, because you're not going to see that big of improvement year to year all the time. So
they're basically roster updates.
Yeah, roster updates, which is a big part of it. Like, I grew up watching football in the early 2000s, and then more recently, I took a big break between it. So playing 2005 has actually been really cool, because a lot of the people that I grew up watching were still playing in 2005, so I get to play with the players and people that I'm more familiar with, even than the 2013 roster. So that's been kind of fun for me personally.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game is Madden, and it feels fluid and it's fast, and I don't know. So far, my team is 3-0, so I'm gonna win the Super Bowl with the Titans, because that's the only way they're ever gonna win.
Well, I actually own Madden 09 on PSP, believe it or not.
On PSP.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to trade it in on Leap Trade, but it's not working out for me yet.
Yeah, you're gonna get like 50 cents.
$5 actually, if somebody eventually tries to get it, just, you know, Leap Trade credit, which just goes toward more games, but
still, that's what you were going to use it for anyway, so
all right,
especially for a Madden game,
I would it's surprising that we're all surprised over $5.
Yeah. It's not that much, and you know, when it comes to Leap Trade, you're just trading games for games. So, you know, if you're not necessarily getting a very good deal on something, like if you make a trade that, you know, money-wise isn't really in your favor, as long as you want to play that game, I don't see that it matters much.
Yeah. Sometimes we overvalue things, I would think. But talking about the value of things, the last game that I'd like to talk about today is a game that's kind of taken over my life a little bit. Luckily, there's nothing exciting in it right now, so I haven't done it for a little while, but it's the Badge Arcade. Are either one of you familiar with this?
Yes.
Not me. So you guys break it down for me.
The Nintendo Badge Arcade is basically a crane game that's been built in with these badges or stickers that you're able to then place on your home screen or inside of folders. The way this is done is you enter into the game and it shows you a bunch of different crane games, and then you use real money. $1 equals 5 chances, $2 is 10 chances, and $3 is 15 chances.
Oh, and that way it's like a real crane game.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you use a crane going from left to right to try and pick up whatever badges you want to grab and then drop into a hole. And if they drop, then you win it. And then if you win it, you're able to then decorate your home screen using those badges. There's been 3 different crane games that are in this, though. There's the basic crane game where you just go from left to right with the crane hand and try to pick things up. There's a hammer that you move from left to right, or I guess just basically to the left. And then when it falls and hits something, it stops, and then it swings back and it uses its hammer motion to try and knock whatever it can down. And then the third one I saw, but I never played. Did you, Bradley, try that one?
The bomb one?
Yeah, the bomb one.
I didn't try it.
I didn't try it, but I think it's just you drop a bomb, it explodes, and it tries to get stuff to fall off the edges is what I would imagine. I personally have really dug this a lot. I think it's really cool to decorate my home screen with the badges. I'm going for the old school look, so I got all the Super Mario series stuff, and also there's this really cool Pixel series where they have pixelated versions of the Super Famicom video games and then Game Boy colors as well. And they're just these cool little badges. I don't know, like I've decorated my home screen and then I've uploaded them to Twitter. So if you're interested what I'm kind of talking about, if you're not aware of this at all, check my Twitter account and go to my photos and you can actually see the stuff that I've done to my home screen. I've had a blast. And
yeah, there's like a ton of stickers and they're like constantly changing them out with new ones.
Well, that's the thing, is every day there's something that gets replaced with something else. And I've gotten to the point where my 3DS is right next to my bed, and the first thing I do upon waking up is check my 3DS to see what new badges there are.
Yeah.
I've fallen down the rabbit hole.
Yep.
You don't actually have to spend anything.
But you can still access everything just with time, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. That's the one thing I don't know, because there are badges that series that get put out and something new gets replaced with it. I don't know for sure if they're going to bring back series back again, if that makes sense.
True.
Like the Mario Kart series. They had a Mario Kart series and it had a bunch of the different stickers from the Mario Kart things. And I only got, I want to say like 6 or 7 of them. And then the next day they were gone. I don't know if that series is going to come back for a chance to get those back. You can log on every day and they might give you a free play, but you can also go and use the practice machine, and you can use the practice machine once a day, and depending on how you do on there, you can get 1 to X amount of possible chances to play the game as well.
That's what I've been doing. I haven't spent anything.
I never spend money on these kinds of things, and I have spent an amount of money that I would never tell my wife that I did this.
Oh, dear. Does she listen to the podcast?
Nope, never.
Okay.
God bless her.
Well, we won't ask either then, just because, I mean, you know, before the show, for you listeners' benefit, Bradley and I did ask how much he has spent, but that's going to stay between the three of us, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's move on to Bradley, what he's been playing. I think how we're going to handle this is Bradley's been able to play a lot of games that have only just come out and me and Matt haven't spent any money on or haven't even come out yet. We are allowed to ask about Xenoblade Chronicles X. That's my understanding, right?
Yes, up to a certain point, I think.
Okay, well, I don't want to get into specifics on that game anyway, so I'm just going to actually start. Me and Matt can just ask some questions. That's how, that's what I was getting to, basically. We're going to just ask our questions on those games. So, my one question, don't get too specific, like I say, I just want to know. Last time I asked you a question about Xenoblade Chronicles X, I just asked, I guess, if you were enjoying it, and you basically said, like, it's really overwhelming. Well, my only question is, now that you've had a little more time with it, are you getting into the flow of it a little better, or is it still kind of like, there's too much to do, I don't know really how to proceed, and things like that, too much to read, which is probably the case?
No, there's not a lot to read, but yes, I am starting to get the hang of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it took too long to get to that point?
Maybe. It does throw a lot of stuff at you in the beginning, all these, I don't know, different mechanics that you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am starting to get the hang of it and starting to enjoy it more.
All right. So one more question. Okay. Did your playtime with Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, which I know you didn't really beat that game, right?
Yes, I did not beat it.
Okay. Did your playtime that you had with that game, did it help you at all in Xenoblade Chronicles X?
Oh, definitely. Like, understanding the battle mechanics, it's basically the same thing with the arts and all those types of things. So
is the battle system basically the same then?
Pretty much. I think they add a few different things, like using guns and switching between guns and melee. That's new, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you probably don't have a scale yet, so the scale might change things up.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a scale yet.
Okay. Okay, we can stop there. Now, Matt, do you have any other questions for Bradley about some of those other games? Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival? My goodness.
Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis.
Not Mario Tennis, but I do have a question about the Amiibo Festival. One of the mini games is called Island Escape.
Desert Island Escape.
Yeah, Desert Island Escape. Is that more fun than the entire Amiibo Festival game? Because that's the only mode that I'm even slightly interested in.
Yeah, that actually did look pretty fun.
It's probably one of the most robust modes in the game. There's like 30 different levels.
The mini game is one of the more robust modes of the actual game, is what you're saying.
Kind of.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I heard that right. I'm not super interested in that game. I did kind of think, like, you know what, this might be fun for me and my 8-year-old and my wife to play as, like, a board game type situation. Would you consider that a possibility? Like, did you play it with multiple people, or were you more playing it by yourself?
I played it by myself, but I don't know. I just can't see having fun with friends, because it's just so passive. You just tap the amiibo and push A. And there's not a lot to, like, sabotage your friends and, like, kind of, like, make some tension going on.
This isn't, yeah, this is not Mario Party, right? Like, there is no mini games.
No, not really. I mean, there's, like, random mini games. They're only chance. You have, like, no bearing in, like, in your favor. I don't know. It's just, they're all chance. It's all chance, and there's okay. no skill, really. Besides the stock market.
Stock market? That actually makes me think of Fortune Street.
A little, I know.
Just, you know, based on stock market. Fortune Street. Yeah. Oh.
it uses the turnip stock market from the Animal Crossing games in the board game.
And which I never even do anything with. Yeah. I don't even get that.
It was probably my favorite part in the board game.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll be something that I'll look into at a later time. Maybe when it drops in prices. Honestly, the only way that I'm looking at it.
I mean, there are some fun some fun mini games. They're just really bare bones. There's not much meat to them. Like, some of them only have, like, 3 levels, and you can beat it, like, in 2 minutes, and then that's basically it with that mini game. You just kind of move on to the next one.
And then the other game that you got was Ultra Smash as well, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has that been a better a multiplayer experience?
Yeah. I mean, it has online multiplayer, so you can play with people.
If you don't have local people. I don't even... Yeah. I mean, it's probably pretty simple, but I still don't think I could get any of my family to play it with me, even my sister. So, I don't know. Mario Tennis is not looking that great to me. But I'm actually really curious about Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. How far are you in that game? Have you had much of a chance to play it?
I've played maybe a couple hours. Not a whole lot.
Okay. So yeah. what do you think about that game so far, then?
It's Mystery Dungeon.
Have you played one before?
Yeah, I played the original one, Blue Rescue Team, on the DS.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of bringing back memories of owning Nintendo Power Magazine, which was my only look into that series, actually.
Yeah,
so I haven't played it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot that's different. I mean, it's Mystery Dungeon, it's cool.
Is the story any good, or is it silly, or just not really, you know, focused on...
It actually has a lot of dialogue, and it is pretty good dialogue, actually. It's kind of funny.
That actually sways me more toward wanting to buy that game. Maybe I'll ask for it for a Christmas present, because I don't really have any other wish list items, to be honest.
It's all text-based, not spoken or anything, correct?
Yeah, it's all text-based.
Okay.
But just some of the characters are pretty funny, though.
Well, that's pretty much all I wanted to know about that. It's just your average dungeon crawler, as far as I can tell, right? And it's got randomly generated dungeons, too.
Yes. Correct?
Okay. Interesting. All right, so I know pretty much everything I want to know. How about you, Matt? Any more questions?
I think I'm pretty good.
Okay. So, let us move on to our... Wait a minute. I haven't talked about what I've been playing.
No, what has Holly been playing?
And I've been wanting to rant on this one so bad. I've been playing Typo Man.
Oh, no.
Best game ever.
Okay, so Typo Man, for those of you who don't know, it's an atmospheric game, really moody atmosphere, puzzle platformer. Basically, the premise is to rearrange words to work for you. You'll have enemies throughout that create words to use against you and things like that, but that's kind of the idea. So, talking first about kind of the technical aspects of this game, it is... really bad. The loading times are so bad. So bad. Like, worse than Lego City Undercover bad. And that game's pretty bad with loading times. So, yeah, I can say that's bad. The game kind of is skippy, which is really bad when you're trying to platform correctly and all, because some of the platforming is pretty precise. You really have to have perfect jumps and things like that. Sometimes the game will stutter just as you have to make a really uncertain jump, and your jump just never occurs because the game stuttered and somehow didn't get your control input. It didn't get your button press. Hmm. Also, the game at this point has frozen completely on me twice. So it's got issues. Yeah. That's not even all for me anyway. I mean, obviously those are bad issues no matter who you are. For me, though, the platforming... generally okay. A little dull, though. There's nothing particularly special about it. There's a lot of uncertainty, like I say, in the platforming, and that's actually something in a platform game that I really hate. That's one of the reasons I don't like Donkey Kong Country Returns that much. I feel like a lot of the platforming is unsure. Like, there's no skill involved. It's just like, okay, if I can get right at the edge of the cliff or whatever and jump perfectly, Like, that to me, that's not really skill. It's more luck. And I don't like when platforming is based around that concept of uncertainty. So, don't like that very much. The puzzling, like, the puzzles themselves, they're hit or miss. It's a huge pain, though, whatever way you look at it. No matter how good one particular puzzle is, it's not that much fun to grab letters, pick them up over your head, throw them into the right place, and it's a huge pain. It's really sluggish. Your character doesn't pick up letters very quickly. You have to throw them, like, exactly right. Sometimes you have, like, letters that you don't need at all, but they're just in the way, and it just makes a problem that is already a problem worse of a problem to me.
I have a question.
Sure.
Can you, like, grab the letters on the gamepad and move them around?
Yeah, you can enter, and I didn't find this out till I got on Miiverse and was asking a question about a particular puzzle that you have to complete in a very short amount of time. The game doesn't really explain it, but if you go up to a group of letters, and they all have to be somewhat close together for this to work, you can access, I'll just use the word access, you can activate, that was the word, you can activate the scrambler, which allows you to rearrange the letters on the touchscreen, but it doesn't always work. I actually was trying to use that for a particular puzzle, and I finished rearranging the word, and it was perfect and everything, and then for some reason it ended up kind of shifting over to the left and mixing up with all these letters that I didn't need. I was like, what was the point of that? So the scrambler doesn't always work. It only worked for me in that one situation where there is such a tiny little time frame for you to finish a puzzle that you literally can't complete it without using the scrambler, which was really frustrating for me until I figured out how to use the scrambler. But yeah, so it doesn't always work, but the option is there for certain situations. So as far as plus sides go, I can only really think of two things that I could give this game a thumbs up on. That is, number one, that the checkpoints are extremely generous. They're all over the place, and you basically just automatically get thrown to the beginning of a particular puzzle if you happen to fail it, or escape scene, which there are a lot of escape scenes, and so it usually puts you back into the action pretty quickly, and you don't have to repeat a lot of, you know, unnecessary stuff a whole lot. But you will die a lot, and so you will find yourself being very grateful for those generously spread out checkpoints. So that's a good thing. Also, the aforementioned chase scenes, the ones I just talked about, those actually have a pretty good sense of peril. Like, you really feel like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it's a good little kind of change of pace from some of the slower paced puzzle solving. Sometimes you get to run away from a creepy enemy, and yeah, that can be pretty good. You really do feel like you're in a lot of danger, but those are the only two things, really, that I could say that I like about this game, which is kind of sad.
I was pretty excited for this upon the first time I ever played the, the Nindies at Home thing that happened during E3.
Right.
So it's a little disappointing that it seems like they never got fully, they never fully hatched what it was they were working on in a way or something.
Yeah, it would be a lot better. Puzzle solving is, like I say, a huge pain. Really sluggish and tedious, not very fun. Like, solving the puzzles can be pretty, you know, fun and satisfying and things like that, but actually accomplishing what you want to accomplish with those letters can be such a huge pain, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really inventive and unique idea. I guess they just didn't execute it super well.
Nope. Also, like I say, the puzzles themselves are actually quite hit and miss. There was one particular puzzle. You get to this room, and there are high up platforms that you can't really reach. Well, I thought, you know, I wandered around for a while, couldn't figure out what to do. So I decided to go backwards. Normally you can't go backwards, actually, but I thought I'd try it anyway. And as I did, I tried jumping over this gap that I had jumped over, you know, the first time to get to that area. When I tried to jump back over it the other way, I accidentally fell down and I was like, darn it. And then, oh my gosh, I appeared back at the top of the screen and ended up being able to get to those higher ledges that way.
You broke the game.
I think that's how it was supposed to be. But the thing is, there was no precedent for that. There was nothing whatsoever to tell me that maybe if I jump down this hole, which normally 100% of the time, well, 90% of the time, I guess, 95% of the time, jumping down a hole like that would kill you. So who would do that? So, yeah.
It was like a portal?
Yeah, but there was nothing. There was nothing really visually that told you that. There's just...
Huh.
I just kind of, I guess, got lucky, quote-unquote, that I fell down a hole, even though I didn't mean to. But it did end up being a good thing, so... Yeah.
Rant over.
Yeah, it doesn't get a whole lot of things right, sadly. I've also been playing a lot of RC Maniacs games. We gotta get him on the show, Mike. And I wish I knew how to pronounce his last name, but Mike from RC Maniacs. What?
Ashenbrenner.
We gotta get him on the show sometime because he makes really tiny games. Really small, but compact experiences. Really cheap, of course, but they can actually be pretty fun. And I have been playing some of his little games in between my infuriating play sessions of Typo Man, and I have found them to be a really nice change of pace. They're pretty fun. So,
which ones have you played?
I've been playing Don't Crash and Color Bombs lately, specifically. So,
well, you know, Don't Crash is one of the ones that I myself did the music for, actually.
Yep, I did see that. It's pretty fun, too. It's very difficult. Very arcadey, like you're just trying to go for a high score. It makes me, in terms of difficulty, it actually makes me think of Flappy Bird, but it's better, if you ask me. Better concept, and it's pretty fun, so.
And the funny thing is, he made a Flappy Bird clone on the Wii U.
Yep, Spiky Walls?
Spiky Walls.
So.
I actually have music coming up for two more of his games in the next year. Yeah, he'll have two more coming out. Well, he has a few more planned, actually, but I have music.
Are you doing Skeezy?
I am.
Skeezy.
I'm doing Skeezy, and I forget the other one, but it's a space game where you're trying to avoid things.
Avoider?
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Avoider.
I actually did see the trailer for that. I thought it looked less. That doesn't look too bad.
Listen to the music of it, because it's one song that I'm very proud that I did. I liked it.
Yeah. I have been very impressed by Mike's consistent output on the Wii U. So, seriously. And I know he hasn't always been happy with like people's responses to his games and things like that, but it's cool to see him keep putting stuff out. Sometimes I'll just browse the eShop and I'll think like, oh, I can get that RC Maniacs game for $1, which is less than a theme on the eShop, typically. Which I get way too many 3DS themes.
Oh, Holly, did you get the Monster Hunter one? It's free.
The Monster Hunter theme?
Yeah.
Which one? Is there like a newer one?
I don't know. It's free.
I've gotten a couple of different free ones from buying Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
Oh, it's the weapon one.
Yeah, I got that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I took advantage of everything. There were a couple of item giveaways for Monster Hunter and things like that. And speaking of Monster Hunter, I am closing in on 280 hours in that game. So
dum dum dum.
280 hours.
That's nothing compared to some people. So that basically covers what I've been playing. I have gotten into Monster Hunter recently, so it'll just be kind of an off and on game for me. I'll get into it, and then I'll play something else, and then I'll get into it again. So get used to it, Matt.
Would you say that you're thankful for Monster Hunter then?
I will get to that later on. Let's talk about some things that we are thankful for. I really will get to that. I've got it in my notes.
Before we begin, I think Matt is very thankful for the prices of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on the 3DS Virtual Console.
I am not even slightly thankful for that. Let's not talk about that.
Oh, I'm grateful for them.
No, you can't. Okay, moving on.
Let's talk about what we are grateful for.
Exactly.
So I've got a few categories here. Studios, as in talking about like entire development studios and what we're grateful for from them. Developers, as in individual developers and what we're grateful for from them. And also business people, peeps, as I put on here. We're going to talk about what we're grateful for from a lot of different things. So let's get right into this really quick. The first one I have under the studios category is Nintendo R&D, which there are a lot of different R&Ds. R&D is research and development, which you can't really go without talking about that because I think a lot of the bigger Nintendo franchises come from there. If Zelda doesn't come from an R&D, then I don't know where it does come from.
No, I believe they come from something else, actually. They come from, like, the Zelda team. The Nintendo R&D deals heavily with the Mario games and then also Wii Sports
there you have it.
And things of that sort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, there you have it. So what are we grateful for from them? Let's start with Matt.
I'm just going to say the Galaxy games, both of them. They were just such a head turner for me when it came to like having my Wii and just having good times with it. And then like watching all the videos for it and then finally playing it and just like having just an absolute blast. And I don't know, just those games alone are, they're just so head and above soldiers of so many other games. I'm just glad that that team got together and was able to express so many ideas. And I guess besides just a video game, I'm thankful that they are a department in Nintendo that feels like they get to be free in their game design.
So Bradley?
Well, they were the ones who made the original Donkey Kong, which introduced us to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Mario. So,
yeah. Jumpman at the time.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that spawned all the different Mario games.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go with Wii Sports if I had to.
Wii Sports,
that's
really
a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, it was same kind of concept with, like, as what you were talking about, Matt, with Mario Galaxy, like, defining the Wii for you. Well, Wii Sports actually defined a lot of what the Wii was for me as well, and I love the Wii, and I think Wii Sports holds up dang well. It's an amazing launch title, so.
It is.
It is. I think people too often forget how excited people were of that game and how much fun we had when we had that game.
Yeah. Seriously, it blew my mind.
Same here. I remember playing tennis for the first time. I was like, this is so amazing. Tennis still is the best sport in the bunch, though.
No. What? Bowling. Bowling.
It's all about the bowling, man.
You guys really like bowling better?
Yeah, I love doing the spins and stuff. That was the best part.
Golf ain't too bad either, not gonna lie.
Golfing wasn't too bad. Bowling, though, we kind of broke that. We kind of broke bowling at my house, so...
What, you mean you broke your TV?
No, we broke the game, kind of. We didn't really, my brother basically figured out a way to get a strike, essentially every time, like 90%.
Well, stop cheating and you guys can have some fun.
Every time. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Tennis always, though, really competitive with people, and so I still think that's the best. But okay, let's talk about Retro Studios. Matt, what are you grateful for from them specifically?
I'm grateful for the time that they've taken off. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I'm excited to see whatever their next venture or project is. And I think without this small amount of break, the more break time sometimes can be bad, obviously. But I'm excited. They're a proven studio. We know they do good work. I'm excited that I don't think we're going to get Metroid, and I don't think we're going to get another Donkey Kong. So I'm thankful that whatever they are doing, they're taking a lot of time to create it.
I can appreciate that, actually. Now it makes perfect sense. So, Bradley, anything specific you're grateful from Retro Studios?
Well, since I've never played a whole lot of the Metroid Prime trilogy, I'm going to have to go with some DK. I'm thankful for them bringing back the Donkey Kong Country series.
Fair enough, even though I'm not a huge fan. But I'm grateful for... they're making Metroid Prime, which so far is the only first-person shooter game I have played and beaten completely. I think I've played a few more. I don't play a lot of FPS games. Nintendo doesn't make a whole lot.
I was going to say, if you play primarily Nintendo software, you're probably not going to find a lot of that.
Yep. So,
GoldenEye.
Oh yeah, I've played a lot of that. Never beat that, though. Maybe someday, now that I have an N64, but... I like experiencing games in new genres that I'm not very familiar with, so I'm grateful that Retro Studios basically they were the ones responsible for making the one first-person shooter game I have beaten so far. So,
and they did something totally different for the Metroid series.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That cannot be ignored. HAL Lab. What
Kirby!
Are we grateful for here?
HAL Lab, Kirby, I think for sure would be mine. I'm thankful for them creating the very first video game that I ever beat on my own. Never forget Kirby's Adventure. Love that game completely. And it's basically one of those games that just like made me be like, oh, this is what video gaming is. Like you start from beginning and you accomplish something and it's just a fun time all around. And Kirby for sure. I love Kirby.
All right. That's pretty special.
I believe they made Mario Party, the original ones, right?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah, for making good Mario Party games back in the day.
Yeah, I gotta go with the original Mario Party.
Awesome.
Pretty thankful for that. I played that a lot, so.
Yeah, the originals were dang good. Mario Party 2 is a family favorite, easily, so. All right, I, for HAL Lab, grateful for them having a hand in a lot of different stuff, because I have realized over the past, like, year or so that they were involved in a lot of stuff. Weren't they involved in, my goodness, Earthbound?
Yeah, they're involved. Their involvement is almost like a background studio where things get created, built, and then even at the time of doing things like Pokemon for the Game Boy, as infamously known now, Iwata, who is a part of HAL Labs, was able to basically recode the game so that it ran better. And they did a lot of things like that for a lot of different games. If you go through their catalog on like Wikipedia, it's pretty crazy what they've had their hand in.
And probably one of the most monumental things is Super Smash Bros.
Yep. Yeah. We can talk. I was going to talk a little bit about that a little later when we talk about Mr. Sakurai.
Aw, Sack Daddy.
Yep. So yeah, HAL Lab. Yep. It's they probably don't get appreciated enough. So here we are, doing our part to appreciate HAL Lab.
Woo woo.
Did you have anything else besides Smash Brothers, Bradley?
Well, Mario Party.
Oh yeah, of course. Jeez, I completely forgot that. So
I think
Platinum.
They did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that as well. Platinum Games is the next on this list. More of a second party to Nintendo, but they are. I mostly thought about it because they are working on the new Star Fox. So, I wanted to say that I'm grateful to them for trying weird things. I played Wonderful 101, and that game is so bad in so many ways, but it's so crazy and inventive in a lot of other ways that it was totally worth getting through the bad stuff to play all the way through that game. So I can say that I'm grateful for that. Matt?
Yeah.
For Platinum Games,
I
really liked Mad World when it came out. I was a big fan of that. I thought it was unique and different. I've enjoyed Bayonetta 1 a whole lot. I haven't beat it, so I haven't tried Bayonetta 2 yet, but I'm assuming I'll like that as well. I like that they are a Japanese studio who is not afraid to be a Japanese studio. I think sometimes some companies want to morph or move towards the way other developers are creating games and try to like snag a couple ideas here or there, but Platinum or Bayonetta 1 especially, and I know 2 to a lesser extent, it feels totally Japanese, and it's hardcore action fighting game. It I don't know. I'm thankful that it looks as though they've never lost their way.
Yeah, they stayed true to themselves. I can really appreciate that. So, Bradley.
Well, I don't think I played too many Platinum games outside of the Wonderful 101, but they make really good like action games, just like beat 'em ups. So I'm pretty grateful for those awesome action games.
Yep, over the top, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. All right, next on the list is Game Freak, a studio that makes Pokemon, also some other things, including the widely underrated, I guess, what was that game? Drill Dozer.
Yes, that's a pretty cool game.
So, yeah, but my gratitude thing to them is more on the Pokemon side of things. It is for them making my childhood magical with Pokemon, because Pokemon really was, it just got my imagination going like crazy, and I loved Pokemon when I was little, and I always fantasized about being a Pokemon trainer, so I can appreciate them for that reason. How about you, Matt?
Pokemon Gold, I guess, would be mine, or Pokemon Silver, one or the other. I liked Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. Like, I played it, and I had a good time with it, but didn't really think too much of it. But I Pokemon Silver was the very first game that I ever pre-ordered. And when you pre-ordered that game, they gave you a CD at GameStop, and you were able to like look up like pictures and listen to music and do a Pokemon quiz or something like that on it. I wish I still had it.
That's awesome.
It was totally cool. I loved it, and I just Pokemon Silver. I fell in love with the series. You know, my brief time with the series at that point, and that was the very first game I ever pre-ordered. So I'm thankful for that one game from them. You know, and also Pokemon Shuffle, that game too. Thankful for that.
All right, Bradley.
I'm in the same boat as Holly here. They pretty much made my childhood. I would play that game all the time on the way to school and talking about it with friends and finding all the different secrets. It was just a huge part of my childhood.
Yep.
So
All right, next up we have Intelligent Systems. Matt, you want to go first on this one?
Ooh, Intelligent Systems. Well, right now we're in the middle of
Paper Mario.
Our Nintendo Fever Game of the Month Club game right now, Paper Mario, is made by Intelligent Systems. But
yeah, I didn't know that until I grabbed
I didn't
that
either.
Game.
They're another developer that, to my understanding, has had their hand in quite a few things. Something of theirs that I'm a big, big fan of, and I wish we could see another one come back sooner than later, is the Advance Wars series.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Yes, Advance Wars is a phenomenal game that is just really, really fun, and it just has a lot of personality, and it's a really, really unique tactics game, unlike anything else. And I don't know, that game is really cool. I like the fact that I wish there was ways to play even their earlier renditions of it, because they had like Famicom Wars and I think Super Famicom Wars.
Oh.
Like, I'd love to have the ability to play something like that, but those games in particular are definitely the what I'm thankful for is the Advance Wars series.
So that's similar to Fire Emblem. I didn't realize there were Advance Wars games that came out in Japan only.
Yes, I think there was only two, like it was called Famicom Wars, and I think there was a Super Famicom Wars. I could be totally wrong about that.
Well, poor Intelligent Systems. That actually, though, kind of ties into my spiel on them, I guess. I'm grateful for them keeping Fire Emblem alive, and for making Fire Emblem Fates into, like, a really epic thing. I mean, it's like three different games. I mean,
like
one of them,
saga.
We don't know much about it, but yeah. So I love that. And it's a good deal, too. You can spend, like, the amount of money you'd normally spend on two 3DS games just by themselves. You can get the special edition for that amount of money and get the art book and the 3DS XL pouch. Plus,
and
you get
the
all
third
three.
Game.
Yep. All three of the chapters, I guess you could say, in that story. Although chapters, that's kind of a light term for that because they are entire kind of separate games.
Yeah,
each one of them.
Pretty much full games.
Yep, so that's a good deal. I am really excited for that, so thank you for that excitement, Intelligent Systems.
And as for me, I gotta say, they actually made an RPG game that I actually enjoyed, because up until that time, it was actually Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. It was like my first RPG game that I really enjoyed. They did something...
Do you still own that game?
I do, I have it for my GameCube.
Okay, that's good. Don't ever get rid of it.
Yeah, it was just like one of the first RPGs that I really enjoyed.
That is pretty cool. So Pokemon, would you not count Pokemon to be an RPG or something?
I don't know. I guess that was just something different.
Yeah, Pokemon does feel different. I wasn't really into RPGs until, you know, I was into Pokemon forever. But that doesn't mean you're into RPGs. You got to be into an RPG to be into.
Yeah, it was the, what is it? The immersive battle system where you actually take part in the attacks.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about it.
Oh, yeah. When we do our final verdict of Super Paper or of Paper Mario, I'm super excited to talk about the battle system.
Yeah. All right. So Monolith Soft is next, another RPG maker. And I'll just go ahead by letting y'all know that what I'm grateful for most from Monolith Soft is just the impressive worlds that they create in their games. The world of Xenoblade Chronicles is incredible. I mean, for one thing, it takes place on the like stagnant bodies of two massive titans. I mean, they're huge. Otherwise, people wouldn't want, you know, be able to live on them. And as soon as you think like, well, this whole game's going to take place on the Bionis, isn't it? Well, you find out that there is a ton on the Mechonis to explore as well. So,
oh really?
Yeah. I hope that's not too much of a spoiler, but yes, you get to explore the Mechonis sometime later on in the game as well. So you can look forward to that if you plan on keeping up with your Xenoblade Chronicles 3D.
Yeah, I got to get back to that.
So, Bradley, what are you grateful for from him then?
I guess maybe again the battle system. It's another RPG, but it was another immersive battle system because it's like real time, and I like switching between all the different arts. And yeah, it's not turn based; it's real time, and I liked it.
Yep. Once you get the hang of it, dang fun battle system in Xenoblade Chronicles and X as well, as far as I can tell. So
yes,
Matt, anything from you?
Same thing. Obviously, the only Monolith Soft game that I have any experience with as Xenoblade Chronicles, and I even X is something that may be a little bit too daunting for me, sadly. But the battle system is definitely a ton of fun. And if anything, I think that they should be praised for taking something from any other JRPG system and taking something stale and making it fresh. So I think that that's pretty awesome.
Yep. All right. We are getting now to non-Nintendo studios, basically. Let's talk about indie developers. So does anyone have, like, don't try not to name too many indie developers. You just got to pick one or two that you want to talk specifically about.
Well, my two are going to be very, very personal just to me, obviously. But Arcane Pixel, I'm super thankful for the opportunity to make the soundtrack for Tiny Galaxy. And I'm also hugely thankful for RC Maddox for letting me do the music for multiple games that Mike and his company does make games for. You know, it's easy to say thankful for all the indie studios and all the cool games and experiences, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a part of the actual game process a little bit. So that's my two.
It works for me. Probably a little better than mine. I was just going to say, I'm just going to reference, I don't know who developed this. You guys probably will. Stealth Inc. 2, A Game of Clones.
Curve Digital.
Yeah,
all Curve. Right. Yes. Got it. I just want to thank them for making a game that really left an impression on me. Stealth Inc. 2, solid, solid game, and it really is very impressionable to me. It's just different. There are a lot of games that, you know, try to go for that moody, creepy atmosphere. I think Stealth Inc. 2 is brilliant with that atmosphere. It has
cool puzzles.
That too. Wow, what a good game. So, thank you for Stealth Inc. 2,
Curve. Also, just purely to Curve Studios, I feel like they should get a special thank you in the sense that they put out a ton of stuff for the eShop as well, and they take a lot of chances and a lot of risks, and they port over a bunch of stuff that otherwise possibly wouldn't come over. So Curve Studio in general is doing a huge cool thing for the eShop, in my opinion.
Yeah. So Bradley?
Well, one thing I like is that indie studios do things that the bigger studios wouldn't do, like bringing back old school type of mechanics and stuff like that.
Right.
And yeah, bringing those things back that the big studios wouldn't normally do.
All right. Specific game that you want to mention? I'm thinking Shovel Knight now that you mention old school mechanics, but
Shovel Knight, there's Mutant Muds from Renegade Kid.
Yeah.
SteamWorld Dig is another good one too from Imogen Form.
I really got to play that one. I own it. It was on sale for a pretty dang good price maybe a couple months ago, a few months ago, more like, well, maybe as far back as a year ago, in fact.
It's so really I had to good. Get it.
Yeah.
I'll short, so.
Oh, okay.
It's not very daunting.
That does make me actually want to play it a little bit more, so.
Yeah.
So, and Matt already talked about his, so we can move on now to third parties. And Matt was curious as to what I would say about Capcom and Monster Hunter, so I'm specifically going to talk about Capcom. Ooh. And approximately 600 hours of sweet, sweet monster hunting in my life. It just, my life needs that, I don't even know what, that violent...
The violent destruction that violent, of monsters that then you can then yeah. take their carcass.
Cutting off tails and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And then carving them up. Yep. It's not too, you know, it's a really organic and real feeling experience. They really designed those monsters well. It isn't often that you play a game where the AI is really awesome, but in Monster Hunter, if you think about it, all those monsters are just AI, which, if you don't know, is artificial intelligence, and they feel like they're alive. They are really, really awesome yeah. to fight. So thank you for those approximately 600 hours. Of my life that you stole from me, Capcom. In a yep. good way. So, Matt, third parties.
Third parties. I'd like to honestly just say I'm thankful for some of the experiences that luckily made it to the Wii U. Watch Dogs, for instance, I was very excited for this game, and I'm thankful that Ubisoft at least published it and let it go out there, even if they sent it out to die. I'm happy that if it did make it. I'm happy that we got one football game. I'm happy that we got a couple of Assassin's Creed games. I'm thankful that some third parties took these chances, even if it wasn't going to pay off for them.
Right. Yeah, that is something. I mean, we always, we kind of bash Ubisoft specifically a lot lately, just because they're not planning on supporting the Wii U much anymore. But really, they tried a lot of effort.
Say they did not try, and I don't like the argument of saying like, well, they were just lazy ports. They were something like otherwise right, you just
Rayman
don't
Legends.
And there, yeah, sadly, yeah, that one did get pushed. But at the same time, like the argument of like, well, it got pushed, so I'm not going to support it anymore. It just doesn't seem intelligent to me to a point. I don't know. It just seems very angry and crass for no reason. Like there were games that were put out on the Wii U in the first 2 to 3 years of its life. And the reality is people did not support it. That's the reality.
Yeah. True. So Bradley.
You know what, Holly? I have to agree with you with the whole Monster Hunter thing. It was Capcom and Monster Hunter. It's just a game experience. Something totally different.
Right.
And I just love how the monsters are really much like a big threat and they take a long time to take down. Mm-hmm. I just love that. It takes skill.
Yeah. And intuition and instinct. There's no health bar. That's one of the big things that a lot of people actually don't like, but I'm like, it's awesome to use your own skill and instincts to take them down. So.
Yeah. And figuring out all their different movesets and stuff like that and how they're going to attack.
Right. Well, in that case, you better be prepared to play Monster Hunter with me sometime soon, online.
Seriously? I haven't played it online yet, so...
Oh, yes. I'm glad that you're open to the idea now. Although, I know you don't have time, but we've got to do that someday. So, now we're actually into our developers segment, individuals, which we got to probably start moving along a little quicker than usual. Let's start with Shigeru Miyamoto, huge one. So, Matt, what are you grateful for from him that is specific?
Saving the industry.
Wowee. Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome.
No, I'm thankful for Mario 3 because that was a very early gaming memory of mine when I would go to a babysitter's house and they had a Nintendo and they had Mario 3 and just playing that game and experiencing it and getting into gaming a little bit more in that capacity because of that game. And it made something that could be scary and sad, you know, with going to a babysitter's house, it made it enjoyable.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? Scary, sad?
No, it made it enjoyable. So that's
if I ever become a babysitter, I'll have those video games ready to go. So Bradley, what are you grateful for from Miyamoto-san?
Trying new things. He likes to try a bunch of different new things. Maybe not all of them are good, like Wii music, but like Pikmin and stuff, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, which came about.
Try new things.
Yeah, Pikmin came about because he started gardening, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, I was just going to mention from him, just imagination, like capturing the imaginations of kids, including myself, everywhere, so.
Yeah, he likes to put his own little spins on things, and that's what I like.
Yep. All right. Next on our list is Eiji Aonuma, producer, I believe, of the Zelda series currently. I'd like to say thank you to him for basically keeping Zelda true to itself, but still fresh. I love the directions he has taken the Zelda series in, so thank you for that. Bradley?
Let's say the upcoming Zelda Wii U. Woo, woo.
That's a good one. How about you, Matt?
I guess it would just be to try something different. Each Zelda game that he's been a part of have actually been very different from the last one. And even though there are a lot of staples in each one that are similar, at least they feel unique and satisfying in their own way.
Yeah. All right. Next we have Masahiro Sakurai. So let's start with Bradley on this one.
Smash Bros.
All right, fair enough. Matt.
Yeah, I have to go Smash Bros. Like, there's nothing else. Like, the fact that he's been able to bring together all of these different, you know, video game superstars, including Cloud now, like, it shows how much respect there is in the industry for this game. And probably for this developer as well, this designer and stuff, like... That is so cool. And without him, we may never have gotten something this cool.
Yeah.
I have another thing to mention.
All right.
It was actually him making Smash Bros. He did something different to the fighting genre and made me actually like a fighting game because I'm not a big fan of like the Street Fighters, the rigid 2D, I don't know, those type of old school fighting games, but he did something different and cool with Smash Bros. And made me actually like it.
Yep. I can say that same thing. Mine specifically, though, it ties into Smash Bros., but I want to say that I'm grateful for Masahiro Sakurai making me want to play every Nintendo game ever, because that's how I feel whenever I play Smash Brothers. I play as, let me think of a good example. I loved playing the Fire Emblem characters in Melee, and that made me want to look into that series, even though at the time it was still not that big here. So, yeah, whenever I play Smash Bros., I'm just like, oh, I want to go play Animal Crossing now. I want to go play Fire Emblem. I want to go play Mario Kart even and things like that. So,
Earthbound.
Possibly the reason that I am the Nintendo fan I am today is because of Smash Bros. So, okay, yeah. I also included Koji Kondo on here, even though he is not, I don't know. He's not one of those big names. Yeah, I wanted to mention him because the original Super Mario Bros. Theme song and the original Legend of Zelda theme song are so important to Nintendo and even to the industry. Like, they're the first truly memorable video game songs, I would say. Super Mario Bros. Theme is probably, like, known by everyone on the planet. I doubt there's a person on this planet who wouldn't recognize that, so... I am thankful to him for being the earliest reason why the Symphony of the Goddesses exists, because that was such an amazing experience for me. Also, he's probably the reason that I only listen to video game music, which is not a bad thing, so I'm grateful for that. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think that just that the basic thank you of creating a theme that helped revolutionize the video game industry as well. I think that music in video games has always been very hand in hand, but I don't know if anyone ever thought, like, this could be something people will remember for a very long time. And yep. That's what it brought into it is just a loving history to the video game to the video game landscape, I guess.
Right. How about you, Bradley?
I don't know if he made this song specifically, but the Dragon Roost theme in Wind Waker.
Ah.
I really like that song.
It is good.
So, thank you for that, Kondo.
I think he at least did Grandma's theme in that game.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Just thank him for all the good Zelda music out there.
Yes.
Because he really did kind of, you know, he's the one who did the original theme, so that's huge. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about business peeps then. Reggie Fils-Aimé, do we want to thank him for anything? I put on my list for making all of our bodies ready.
For making them dank memes.
Oh yeah,
that too.
Hey, I think we're all going to basically say the same thing for being a person that stands up and is in front of Nintendo. And when you think of Nintendo, you have a face that you can think of. Like, it's not like a big giant corporation of scary people that just pump out video games for us to spend money on. No, there's a guy behind it that's funny, and he interacts with the fans, and he's personable and he's likable.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not like a super serious, it's not super serious. He's just having fun.
People love the heads of Microsoft and Sony now too, but people I think have kind of forgotten that, like, Nintendo is the reason people even know the names of people in the industry. People didn't know, like, who was the head of Microsoft, who was the head of Sony, who was the head of this studio or that studio. Like, Nintendo has been very much like this company of, like, these are people within the company that, like, know who everybody is. Like, that's not a known thing. Like, nobody knows the name of the guy that owns Walmart, even. Like, the biggest company in America. Do you know who the CEO is of Walmart?
I don't.
Nobody. Wally. Yeah, Wally. Yeah, exactly. That's the point, is nobody does and nobody's going to. But, like, Nintendo made a very stark, you know, intelligent decision of saying, like, this is the guy in America, you know, so.
Yeah.
America.
All right. So, speaking of, you know, Nintendo having recognizable faces, personable ones, Satoru Iwata. What are we grateful for him? Let's start with Bradley on this one.
His wizard skills at programming.
Ah, yeah. That's a good one. How about you, Matt?
I think that...
Too much to name.
I think that the Nintendo Directs are a big part of what he did.
Oh.
And I think that...
Bradley's like, can I go back and change mine?
I think that a big part is, like, the same thing we were saying with Reggie. I think the reason partly why we know who Reggie is so aggressively is ideas brought up from Iwata. So that is what I'm thankful for, is that he, even though some people like to say, like, oh, Nintendo's stuck in the dark ages, they have done more things during his run that made them be a forefront person of, like, we want to know what the fans think. And the Nintendo Direct especially, we want to talk directly to you. So I'm thankful for those kind of moments.
All right. On my list, I just wrote down, I thank Iwata for being a constant presence in my preteen and teen years. That's when I really, really started getting into gaming. Even though I didn't, you know, realize it. At the end of every game, though, executive producer Satoru Iwata. So he was always there. Kind of like Fi. Oh. He still is with us in spirit. So, all right. Next on the list is Bill Trinan. So I'll just put mine up first. I'm grateful to him for being willing to act like a kid, which he seems to do a lot in the Nintendo Directs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that about Bill. How about you guys?
I'm thankful for the amount of donuts he can eat, because it made me laugh.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Bradley?
I'm thankful for him calling Reggie that he smells like cheese. Did you guys see that?
I don't think I did.
Which one?
The part two?
No, I did not see part two.
Part two of what?
Watch part two. The yokai watch skit where he was eating the donuts.
Oh. What?
Yeah, they put part two on YouTube.
Okay.
I'll have to look that up.
He says Reggie smells like cheese. So
I think I saw that as being uploaded to YouTube, but I just thought it was the same thing as what was in the direct. So
yeah, you got to go watch it.
I will do that. All right, finally, we have the Treehouse people. I appreciate them for being, like, really enthusiastic. It's great to watch them play games at E3. I have really enjoyed that. And their enthusiasm for Nintendo matches my own, and so, you know, they're pretty relatable to me that way. They also have good chemistry. They look good and sound good up there on the E3 show floor when they are showing off games. So I really, really appreciate the Treehouse for that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, I'm happy that they made the change to do that Treehouse Live, and I think it's cool that they have people that actually care about Nintendo, and even if they're being paid to be Nintendo employees, I truly want to believe that they love what it is that they're saying and doing. So that's what I'd be probably most thankful about, is that fact, is that they're truly happy to be where they're at.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bradley.
I don't know, the Treehouse Live events at E3. Those are cool. Get to see the people who actually are localizing the games, play them, and talking about them.
Yeah, they do other things as well that we don't really think about too much. You know, just post Nintendo Direct stuff like streaming Splatoon and Super Mario Maker and things like that. So,
True.
They're pretty fun, and I don't know if it was their idea, or I don't know who had the idea for the Treehouse people to start having a presence in Nintendo's presentations, but whoever had the idea, thank you for that. Yeah. I think it was a good one.
Very good idea. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for long podcasts.
Yeah, how could you not be?
Right? Thank you, everybody, so much for listening, and if there is anything about the video game industry, be it Nintendo or not, just something that is very personable to you, if you're thankful about something, feel free to write us at Nintendo Fever, or podcast at NintendoFever.com. I tried
You'll
so hard
get
to get
that
it.
Right on your first try.
Oh, I tried so hard, but let us know what you're thankful at. Hit me up on Twitter at OnlyMattDez and let me know what you're thankful for when it comes to video game stuff, because this is the time of year. We're always thankful all the time, but let's really let it ring true, like, hey, I am thankful to be a gamer, and there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, and you can also talk to me on Twitter at Holly Felmuth. Don't forget, our email is podcast@nintendofever.com.
Oh, that's how you say it.
I think you got it right in the end, but I thought I'd put it out there.
Good idea.
Just so y'all know. Bradley?
I am at Bradley Cragen.
All right, the usual. Also, check out Bradley and his
YouTube channel.
YouTubies.
YouTube channel. Yeah. Had a little brain fart there.
Bradley News 11 on YouTube.
Yeah. He does great video reviews and other miscellaneous things as well. News roundups and Buggin' Bradley's. It's all good stuff. So go check him out at Bradley News 11 on YouTube. With that, I think we're at the basically end of our podcast. Be sure to go, if you have a little minute of spare time in your life, go to the iTunes store, search for Nintendo Fever with no space in between those two words, and you can find our podcast and give it a nice little rating. And if you have 2 extra minutes of spare time in your life, give us a review as well. That would be very much appreciated. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, though. This has been episode 39 with Holly Felmuth, Matt Desend, and Bradley Cragen. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.